I want to ask you a question this morning, first of all, before I begin. What is, think with me, what's your favorite book in the Bible? Just think of your answer in your own mind. What's your favorite book? Now, I don't know if anybody would have thought of Deuteronomy. Is that one of your favorite books? No, I don't think anybody would have thought that. I'm reading through the Bible this year, and I've come to the book of Deuteronomy a few weeks ago, and I really was thinking about it a lot as I was asked to preach, and it is a wonderful book, and there's much truth to learn from it, and it's as valuable today as it was. It was written almost 3,500 years ago. Now, 35, that's a long time ago, 3,500 years. A book that was written that long ago still has value. Why? Because God is the author, not a man. There's no book that a man wrote that long ago that's worth anything. But what God wrote is truly applies to us today. Now, the name of the book, Deuteronomy, I've always, when I was preparing my message, I was thinking, well, what does that word mean? You know, Genesis means beginning. Leviticus is the Levitical code for the Levites. Exodus is Egypt. But when you come to Deuteronomy, and I was thinking to myself, what does that word mean? And you know, then we have Joshua, Judges, and, you know, those things are kind of self-interpretive. But the word, the original Hebrew word, means spoken words. That's what the word, I'm not going to try to pronounce the Hebrew word, but when the Hebrew was translated into Greek, it became a word that meant second law. And it's that word, that Greek word, sounds a lot like the word Deuteronomy. So that's kind of how the word came to be, but it's not, when you read the book of Deuteronomy, I want you to try to get the setting of where it was spoken. Deuteronomy was Moses gave three long teachings to the children of Israel. They were just to the east of the Jordan River, and Jericho was on the west side of the Jordan River. So they had all come to this point after 40 years, and they were there in the whatever millions number they were, and Moses he needed to remind them. Now, you want to ask, why did he have to remind them? These were the children of the ones who left Egypt. They were very young when they received the law on Mount Sinai. So they would not necessarily remember. You know, As we have the Bible, we can go read it anytime we want to. There was no Bible at this time. There was nothing for the people to read. So they had to be reminded verbally. So, you know, Moses reminded them of what God did to bring them out of Egypt. He reminded them of what it meant to have God do the miracle of parting the Red Sea. He reminded them of all these things. You know, if you read in Exodus how God spoke and the people feared God greatly on Mount Sinai, they ran away from the mountain. These people that now, where Moses is speaking to them in Deuteronomy, they would have been, like I said, very small, and they would not have remembered all the things that God wanted them to know. So, you know, when you read Scripture, it's kind of important to help us to understand, you know, where were things happening when God spoke these things to Moses. And so this new generation was 40 years later, and from when God first took them from Egypt. Now, in the first chapter, we're gonna end kind of. If you want to get your Bibles out, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're not going to read. I'm going to briefly go through the first six chapters, and I mean very briefly, just point some highlights from them. But the Deuteronomy is for the second generation, and you know one of the interesting things that Moses, one of the particular things that he highlights in chapter one of Deuteronomy is when God brought them to a place called Kadesh Barnea, which is not mentioned there, but that's where God brought them after the law. God brought them to a place called Kadesh Barnea, and he was ready to send them into the promised land right away. But if you know the story, you've read it, if you've been around the Bible, you know the story. The 12 spies went in. The two came back. Joshua and Caleb, of course, came back with the said, let's go get it. But the other 10 spies, or the whatever you want to call them, they said no. And they turned the hearts of the people against what God wanted them to do. Now, it took the children of Israel 40 years instead of 11 days to get to the place where God wanted them to be. God wanted them, it would have been 11 days of moving from Sinai up to the promised land where God wanted them to go. But their unbelief, they looked at all the obstacles. They said, the mountains are high. Let's look at verse number 26 in Deuteronomy chapter 1. It says, nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Now, those are, you know, as a human looks at things, you would say, you know, when you hear the story of Jericho, how the walls were high and God told them, you know, the story of what God did. It was not the Israelites that had to do what God said, but God was the one who defeated them. And that's what Moses was trying to remind them of. This is what happened back there in those days. God said, let me do the fighting for you. It talks about in these verses the Anakim, the giants. They were very tall people. One of the commentaries I read said one of the beds that they found for these people, one of the kings, was 13 feet long. That his bed was, no, that's for a tall person. You know, there's nobody alive to, well, maybe a few guys in the NBA might need a bed that long, but super, super tall. Very few people. This was a whole race of people like that. And so they looked to, if you saw someone that big, you would be afraid of them. And these were warrior people. But again, they were looking at things from a human perspective. Moses was reminding them, you should have looked at what God could do for you. And that's what Joshua was going to lead them to do. But Moses, before they went in, he's reminding these people, this is what God wanted to do for you. Now, trust him as you go in. Now that's, I just want to mention that from chapter 1. And chapters 2 and 3, I don't have time to go into that, but Moses reminds the people of the wilderness years and some things that God had done for them. But, you know, one thing that I read in those chapters in 2 and 3, the Bible says that their shoes didn't wear out. That's amazing. That's a miracle. How many have had a pair of shoes for 40 years that never wore out? Nobody. Now, you might have had a pair of shoes for 40 years, but you had to get them resold and things like that. But their shoes were in a hot, terrible climate and walking through deserts and very hot things. And God made their shoes last. God said he even cleaned their teeth. If you read that in the book, I don't know if it's mentioned in those chapters, but God cleaned their teeth. God doesn't clean my teeth. I have to do that. And so do you. So God watched out for those people in ways that he never watched out for anyone. You know, they were God's, they are God's chosen people. And I like some of the songs we heard today, because God is the one who chose us. And we didn't choose him. God chose us. Why did he choose us? If you're here today and you're God's child, why did he choose you? Or why did he choose me? Because I'm so great? No. Absolutely 180 degrees, no. God chose because he loves us, and he chose to do it. And he told the children of Israel, I didn't choose you because you were better than another country or another race. I chose you. We don't know why, but God chose the Israelites. Why did he choose you? We don't know. God's good. That's all we can say. God is good. Now, in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, I want to read for you verses 34 and 35 of chapter 4. And Moses brings the stories into focus, and he sums up a lot of things in these two verses. He says, "Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God, and there is none other besides him." He was trying, again, reminding these young people at the time, who are now adults ready to go into the promised land, have you ever seen a God greater than God? He was trying to remind them to fear God, because he is the great and almighty God. We need to fear God. Sometimes, excuse me, I've been fighting a cold this week, so if my voice cracks, please forgive me for that. But God is a God who loves us, and that gets emphasized a lot in our day, but God is also a God to be feared. And God is a great and terrible God, and he will... I'm not going to talk about this today, but if you read Deuteronomy chapter 11, God says, if you obey me, you're going to have blessings. If you disobey me, you're going to have curses. And God always does what he says. That's a general truth. That was true for them. And if you know the history, they eventually did turn against God. All the Israelites turned against him at different points in time. But that's a general truth that's also true for us. If we want God's blessing on our lives, we need to obey the scripture and obey God. You know, as I think of how you show love to someone, I show love to my wife by obeying her. By doing what she might ask me to do. That's how I show love to her. Now, I need to do a better job of that. There's a lot of projects around our house that need attention. And my wife is laughing because she knows that I am not a handy person. I am not, and I freely admit that. And so sometimes people will come and help me do something, and I'll say, why didn't I understand that before? It's so simple. And my son's shower door is sticking. It has a metal frame with a glass, and it's kind of sloped down right now. Well, a man came the other day and said, there's a little screw here on top. You unscrew that, scoot it over, and it'll straighten the door out. But if he wouldn't have showed me that, I would have never, ever known that that was there. I wouldn't have thought to look for that. Now, maybe God has gifted you with better things than me in that way. I'm sure he has, some people. If we didn't, we're all in trouble. But that's how you show someone that you love them, by helping them, by doing what they ask you to do. If you're able. I'm not able. No, I'm just kidding. There's some things I need to do. Procrastination is one of my gifts that is not a good gift. So, but we're all busy and things happen, and that's how life is. But let's focus back on these two verses that I read to you, that he's trying to remember. He's reminding these people, God did these great things for you in the past, and he's trying to get them encouraged to, as they go in, they're going to see God working in their lives. He's going to see God defeat Jericho and many other places. He's trying to remind them, God did this before. He's going to do it again. He could have done it with you. You didn't let him. You didn't believe him. But he will do it if you trust him. That's what he wanted them to know. And so when they went in, God did do that for them, and they trusted him for a while. So, but verse 35, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God, and there is none other besides him. So, now, let's, in chapter 5, we're not going to read anything in chapter 5, but in chapter 5, you'll find, if you look at it, Moses gives them, this new generation, the Ten Commandments again. They're written again, just as they are back in Exodus 20. The same exact commandments he gives to this new generation. So he wanted them to know them. Now, which brings us to chapter 6, which we'll talk about more in depth a little bit. Now, chapter 6, the Bible says, look down in verse number 5, particularly, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, Justin read for you, Jesus repeated this in Matthew chapter 22 to the Pharisees. And they were, you know, he was talking to the Pharisees who were trying to catch him, and they were asking him, they thought, tricky questions. But of course, when you're talking to the Son of God, he has the perfect answer. And they said, what is the greatest commandment that there is? And this is what he said. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, this is the whole law and the prophets. That means this is what the Old Testament is teaching you. And they didn't ask him any more questions after that for quite a while, for a period of time. So this is something that I cannot stand before you and say, I love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, and strength. And I want you to ask that question to yourself. Can you honestly say before God, not to me or anybody else here, can you honestly say that you love God more than anything, every moment of the day, every moment of the night? Do you love him more than anything? Ooh, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. That's a high and lofty goal. But God wants us to do that. He wants us to look at him as number one above anything else. If you're honest, you would say we're so easily distracted by things, by what's going on in this world and other things that take our love and our focus from him, and sin can do that. We as Christians can say we love God, but if we are intentionally doing wrong, we're loving sin and not God. That's one thing. A good thing can take our attention, and we're not loving God the way we need to love Him. With all of your heart, your soul, and your strength. That's a hard standard. But that's what God wants from us. Now, I was going to read more of that, but I think I'm just going to read that verse. And look at verse number 6 also. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You know, again, Moses is trying to get these Israelites to understand that they have been blessed above any other nation on the earth at that time. God had blessed them mightily. Now I want to ask you and myself, has God blessed us? Has He given you good things? Has He given me good things? Resounding answer is yes, He has. The New Testament teaches we're adopted Jews. That's really the way God looks at us. And we're not, maybe you're Jewish, maybe you're not. We have a friend who she's from the Philippines, and I don't know where she gets her information from, but she thinks that she thinks she's Jewish. And she's looked something up. She looked our name up, and she said, "You're Jewish." And I said, "Okay, I don't really know if that's true, but okay, if you say so." And I did look it up a little bit, and it's hard to say. Who knows? But whether you're a Jewish person by blood or whether you're not, it doesn't matter. If you're a child of God, you are an adopted Jewish person. We're all one. So that is a great blessing. Now, when we take time, these are just some quick points here. When we take time and reflect about our lives, we should see God's goodness, provision, and His protection in our lives. When we take time and reflect, we should see God's goodness, His provision, and His protection. You know, I want you to think in your mind about that. How has God been good to you? How has God provided for you? How has God protected you? How has He done that in your life? We all have different stories. One story that I can relate is when I was, I don't know, maybe 22, 23 years old, I was driving back. We had our group had a winter weekend event, and it was a nice, fun winter weekend. We played football in the snow. A lot younger, I could do all those fun things and had a great time. We had a nice preaching. When I got back in my car to drive home, which is only maybe 45 minutes, I was with another fellow, and I was going down the interstate, and I fell dead asleep. And my car was, when I woke up, my car was headed right for, what do you call those things, those concrete things over the overpass, the side part of them? There's a term for them. I don't know what it is, but they're really hard, and they're not good for cars. So when I woke up, I was headed right towards that thing. And I believe I would have lost my life that day if I wasn't. I believe God woke me up. And I swerved the car just at the last possible second, and I stayed awake the rest of the way home. But that's one situation in my life where God, I believe, He protected me. And if you can think in your life, God has probably done those kind of things for you. When I was in Africa, when we were in Africa as missionaries, one afternoon I was driving to our afternoon service where I was a pastor of the church. My wife and kids were at home. I think my children were sick or something. Earlier in the day, I'd had a flat tire, which in Africa is normal. normal event almost weekly, flat tires. And so I changed my tire myself. I put the lug nuts back on, and that afternoon drove home, had lunch, and then I drove back on my way to church in the afternoon. We had service at 4:30 there because we got home before dark, always home before dark. That's when the bad guys come out. So you don't want to be out after dark, honestly. And so I was on my way to church, driving down the road, and I felt a vibration in my vehicle that I normally didn't feel. So I slowed down, and I should have pulled over right then. But I did slow down to about probably 30 miles an hour on this gravel, dirt, gravel road, which is in very bad disrepair. And I slowed down, and all of a sudden, I could feel the lower. We drove, it was British, they're British style, so the steering wheel's on the right. I felt the passenger side drop down, and I saw my tire going flying ahead of me while I was stopping. And my tire, of course, all the lug bolts were stripped. All the lug nuts were gone. The brake hub cover was gone. My tire was, of course, gone in the wheel. And we found the tire in the wheel, of course. Somebody, one of the men with me, found the brake hub cover. But I was stuck there. If you don't have lug studs to screw lug nuts on, even if you could find them, you can't screw anything onto a stripped bolt. So I honestly didn't know what I was going to do. But I had a friend who would help me with mechanical things, and I called him, and he was a Muslim friend. His name was Ibrahim, and I said, Ibrahim, I need help. I'm on the Sereri Road, and obviously we didn't have church that night. Sometimes things happen. You don't have church, and people just come and then they go home. I'm sure that's what happened. I didn't even make it to church that night. So Ibrahim came out with his truck. And I would have never thought to do this because I'm not mechanically minded. He took all the stripped, he knew how to take all the stripped lug bolts off and got rid of them. And he took three good ones from the other side and put three and three. So I was able to go home with my tire and three lug bolts, lug nuts over here and three here. I was able to go home slowly like that. Now, again, good mind, awesome guy. I would have never thought of that. I thought I was sunk. I thought I'd be there all night. But, you know, it's funny because that's the only time a rainstorm was coming right when he was finishing his work. And it's the only time that I've actually gotten hailed on. It rained and it hailed while we were trying to change that tire. I was covering him with a something I had, and I was getting rained on and hailed on. But that's life in Africa. And so I always made sure I had a good spare tire. Now, I didn't need it in this case. My tire was fine. It was my lug bolts and lug nuts that were bad. But, you know, I could have crashed. I could have turned over. And there's so many accidents that happen on African roads in Uganda, the one I know particularly. Those things happen. People were killed on that road before. I almost killed a little girl that ran right out in front of us. And one time I didn't almost kill it because I saw way up ahead of me a little infant was sitting in the middle of the road where you would go 50 miles an hour. I saw it way before I got there. And I stopped, and this infant was sitting in the middle of the road. And so when I stopped, somebody from their house, from their hut, came out and grabbed the child and ran back. I wanted to go get the mother and go, but I didn't. I didn't do that. But God, you know, those are just a couple things where God protected me and my family. And, you know, God has done that for you, too. Maybe you've not driven on African roads. I know Musa has, or he's ridden on African roads, and he understands more of what I'm saying. But don't complain about roads in Minnesota. I'm not hearing it. Forget it. So If you ask Musa, he'll tell you what bad roads are. And I can tell you what bad roads are too. But, you know, without God's goodness, you and I would not be here today. We wouldn't. You know, we have an enemy that wants us dead, that wants us to harm us. Satan is our enemy. And his hordes, we would be done for if it wasn't for God's goodness to us. And so we need to thank him for that. Now, another item here, we should be willing to show our love by obeying him, no matter what he may ask us to do. You know, you'll never be sorry for doing what God wants you to do. Never, ever, ever you're going to be sorry. But you will be sorry if you don't obey him. Look at the children of Israel. Everyone who came out of Egypt died except for Joshua, Caleb, and Moses. And Moses died before he got to go into the promised land. So there are only two people who were alive at the time of the Exodus that went to the promised land. Two out of, I don't know the figures, but that's a lot of people. Maybe over 2 million possibly. I don't know how many, but only two people out of at least a lot. Because they disobeyed. They didn't believe God, and God said, okay. Remember, if you remember the story, the people who went to look at the promised land were there 40 days. And when they came back, God said, you're going to wander for a year for every day they were in the country there. So that's why it was 40 years. And that was God's judgment. And God struck the 10 that went in that had a bad report. God struck them dead right then. And then, if you look at the story, the people said, okay, wait, we were wrong. And they tried to go in, and they were defeated, and they ran away. God said, don't do it. I'm not with you. But they went ahead and tried anyway, and then they scrambled out. So, God deserves our love because of all that he has done for us. The Israelites needed to love God with all their heart, soul, and strength because of what God had provided and done for them. That is the truth for us today. We need to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength because of what he's done for us. He's done so many things. You know, it might be interesting in heaven if God would reveal to us all the ways that he protected us that we never had any idea about. Maybe you had to go find your keys and you were delayed for 5 minutes. You never know. God might have kept you from an accident. God, it'll be very, like I said, interesting to see how those things might have happened. And you're going to be surprised because I'm done. But I'm getting you done early. This is good. But I want to just say this lastly. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, the one we have been speaking about, then today is your chance to know him as Savior. Today. We're talking about the God of the Bible and his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did and how he loves us. God loves you, and he wants you to know him personally. If you don't know him, if you're here today, Christ wants you to become one of his children. And that's the whole story. And that's what God wants for all men. Not everybody's going to do it, but that's what he wants for all people. I'm going to pray. Justin is going to come and lead us in our final song. And after that, we're going to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Well, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us how you love us and how we need to love you, how we need to look at you and love you and thank you for all the good things you do for us. Help us to be obedient. Help us to do your will in our lives. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.